Welcome to the Business Success Network podcast with me, Stacey Calder, helping you to grow yourself and grow your business with tools, tips and techniques. I am Stacey Calder from the Business Success Network and Magazine, and I am joined today with Stefan Wesley from the Digital Commando. Hi, Stefan.
Hey, how you doing, Stacey? You all right?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Absolutely superb, and it's great to be on your podcast. Thanks very much for having me.
That's all right. Notice that I got you on ours before you got me on yours.
Yes, I will make up for it.
That's all right. So we are here today to talk about three things. We always do this on the Business Success Network podcast, about your journey so far. Yeah. We ask the question, what is business success to you? Because everybody always has a different answer to that. And I think it's really great that we can see kind of what other people kind of bounce off. Plans for the future. And then your three top tips, which I kind of got a feeling I'm going to know what area you're going to go with these three top tips. But you might hold me completely wrong. So, journey so far. Stefan, tell us about you.
Okay, so my journey was really weird, actually. I suppose for most, digital marketing agency owners, I started off with a very different background. So I didn't do university, I didn't do college, anything like that. I went straight into the military at 16 years old. And for me, it was really about my family background was very military, and I wanted to really carry that on. And I was always in like the army cadets from about 12 years old. So I was like, yes, 100% army barmy. And I wanted to get in there, and that's what I wanted to do. And originally I wanted to do like the engineers, which is again, my uncle's background. My dad was a pioneer. That's what I wanted to do. But I went for the courses originally, and I passed all the exams from kind of an intelligence side. But they told me then, you're colorblind, Stefan. So you're not allowed to be an avionics technician, which is what I wanted to be, and work on helicopters. So they gave me a couple of other things. And I said, I just want to be in the Royal Engineers. It doesn't matter what it is. And they said, okay, well, there's a couple of different things. And I said, well, just a bricklayer. The bricklayer's a job in the engineers. Can I be a bricklayer? And they went, well, no, you're colorblind. And I was like, is there different color bricks? Like, how can I not do this job? And I found out there's actually a bomb disposal element of that job, which is the reason that I couldn't do it. So I ended up joining the Royal Signals, which is the communications and IT side of the army. And I really loved it. I spent 8 years doing that. And across that, I did a lot of anti-terrorism. I actually ended up in bomb disposal, ironically. I think at one point in my career, they called me Magneto, because when I went anywhere near electronic equipment, it just stopped working. So I think this is why they kind of sent me to bomb disposal.
Should I be worried you've now got a business in digital then?
Well, yeah. No, this is why I've got a really good team, because my laptop will stop working. This podcast, hopefully it'll all work, and hopefully everyone can hear me okay. But for me, I think they kind of put the senses of, well, if we put Stefan next to the bomb, it's definitely not going to go off. So so I went and did that, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I spent a lot of time in London. Got to do all the big state events and things like that, and really, really enjoyed it. Learned so much from the military. But when I got out, I wanted to do something different. Obviously, as it's the military, you don't get paid a great deal of money, and I really wanted to go and make some money. And when I got out, then I decided, right, I watched The Wolf of Wall Street and went, that looks brilliant. Let's try that, shall I? So I decided to go into sales, first of all, and I managed a telemarketing center of about 40-odd people, which I was very lucky to get that job, to be honest. But I got in, and I was really good at it, to my own surprise, and then ended up pitching for a job in Dubai, and they hired me as a business development manager for a finance company out there. And again, I really enjoyed that as well. But the part of the job that I enjoyed wasn't so much the finance side. And as you all know, kind of coming from a business networking background, I loved creating these events and getting high networking individuals together. And then my job was obviously to introduce them to financial advisors and make a commission in the middle. And I kind of sat there and I went, well, I'm not making a lot of money as a financial advisor or as a BDM. I actually went on to be a financial advisor and didn't really like that either. But that wasn't really where my passion was or where I enjoyed the job. So for me, I was like, well, I really like doing these events. Well, why don't I just start an events company? And Dubai is slightly different to the UK. It's not like you can pay 30 quid and Companies House will give you a company. Over there, you have to have licenses and sponsors, or you used to have sponsors. So for me, just to start the company cost me, I think, about £12,000. That's before you start trading or doing anything at all. So I launched this company, and it, again, to my surprise, went really, really well. And I ended up hiring a big team. We were doing events all over Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And then the natural thing came to me again. These events companies that were also in the region started coming over, and the company was also called Sigma then. And they said, oh, Stefan, Sigma's doing really well. Your events are always really busy. If we pay you, would you promote our events for us, and we'll pay you for everybody that arrives? And I said, well, yeah, actually, that sounds good. But I don't even have to run the event. You just want me to get people there? And they went, yeah. So yeah, happy days. And then the natural transition from that was that I ended up enjoying marketing more than I enjoyed doing the actual events. It was like all the money and none of the stress. So then it's kind of Sigma started as an event.
Events will know that actually they can be so much stress.
Oh, events. I think I read a blog years ago in Forbes, which said that events management was the fifth most stressful job on the planet. And after being in that industry, I completely believe that. Events is stressful. If you enjoy it, then it's great. But the event is super, super stressed until, as you know, it's when the people turn up that stress level disappears.
Yeah. And when they've gone home and they've got a smile on their face as well.
Yeah, when you hear all the great feedback from it and things like that, it's fantastic. But for me, it was always, once they're in that door, it doesn't really matter how the event goes, at least I got everyone there. And because I was quite good at that, the events marketing company kind of started, and then that evolved from just marketing events into, what is Sigma now, I guess? So the actual marketing agency.
So that was over in Dubai then. So what brought you back to the UK?
So I decided that, the market kind of crashed over there. There was a big property market. Big thing over there is essentially, if let's say like one of my friends, he bought a high rise apartment, fantastic, overlooking the beach, but they build so fast in Dubai that I think about a year after he bought this lovely apartment with a lovely view, another building went straight up in front of it. So he went from having this lovely sea view to a wall view, which was a real shame. But this had a big knock-on effect across Dubai, and that was a culmination of lots of other things. Kind of had a, well, just really took their market out. And then one of the first things that people stop spending money on is the event side. So we lost all of the kind of corporate part of the business, which was really propping the whole thing up. And we only had the tourism side left. So for me, I kind of went, look, I've had a really good time in Dubai, but it's now time to go back to the UK. I was missing home. So I thought, okay, let's shoot back. And I ended up working for the same company that I was previously doing telemarketing with, just in a different role. Did that for a while. And then I was so kind of passionate about getting back into marketing. So while I was at that company, they actually paid me to do my diploma in digital marketing, or diploma in social media, then a diploma in digital marketing. Then they promoted me to the head of social media there. And again, it still really wasn't enough for me. I didn't want to do it for just one company, because I thought it just really isn't busy enough. So I really wanted to move into an agency where I could kind of get that diversity from lots of different clients and different industries. And I applied for a job as a digital marketing manager for an agency in Oxford. And I, again, massively shocked, actually got the job.
You don't have much faith in your own abilities from what you keep saying. I'm really shocked.
I was so shocked because, to be fair, like, I've come from a military background, not really a great deal of marketing experience apart from kind of the self-taught side. Then I had these two diplomas, which, to be honest, were like cheap as chips. I think they were like really cheap ones off Groupon or something. And I ended up managing a department where I had a team working for me, where those guys all had degrees in marketing or master's degrees in marketing. So for me, that was like a big shock that they'd actually given me that job in the first place. But again, I did it really well and I really enjoyed it, but just didn't agree with actually the ethos of their company and how they did things. And for me, I kind of wanted to go a bit more bespoke. So I think about 6 months down the line working for them, I just really thought, I can do this much better. I kind of put my points across to the directors and said, look, this is how I want to run it. Look, I'm the digital marketing manager. You should kind of listen to me because this is what you've employed me to do. And they just didn't want to do it. They were kind of set in their ways. They liked how they did it, and didn't want to change it. So I said, well, for me then, it's time to start something new, and kind of go out on my own. And it was nice to kind of put yourself up against that wall where you kind of haven't got any other choice. You need to kind of come out swinging, because within a month, my what was a fantastic salary has disappeared, and I need to land clients immediately to start paying me. And actually, I employed another guy who's still with me to this day, a fantastic guy called Milos Krasinski, who was our SEO manager, who left the same day as me and 1 month later was working for me as well. Like one of the best SEO guys in the world. And it's just great to have him on board, and he's supported me all the way through, really. I don't think I could have done this journey without him.
Oh, that's nice. Because I've networked with you for quite a while now, and we don't often, I've heard you speak a couple of times, and you've mentioned your right-hand SEO man there. But people, you are the face of kind of Sigma as we know it, really, and the digital commando brand as well. So it's great to hear you talking about some of those things behind the scenes as well. Because I suppose that's the kind of, not everybody sees that journey, do they? Not everybody will know that background. So, you know, and I've heard people say to you, why the digital commando? But when you hear that journey, it's quite apparent why it's the digital commando.
I don't look like a soldier anymore as much as I did kind of about 8 years ago, where it was when I left in 2012. I think I was a lot fitter and looked a bit more muscly and everything else. Now I kind of get out and people say, were you actually in the military? Yes, I was.
You do rock up in your camouflage gear, although
they wouldn't believe me otherwise.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say you did rock up in some the other day, and I heard somebody ask you if you'd been painting and decorating.
Yes,
so I'm not quite sure that was the right camouflage. But
well, yeah, I rebranded slightly. Obviously, I used to wear a beret all the time, but I think the beret, although it fits the brand, kind of wearing a beret, I didn't like wearing my cap badge and things like that. I thought that was a bit too military. So we've kind of gone just a bit more kind of casual, fun. We want to kind of...
funky.
Yeah, just the way. I've got my hat on now. I love it.
It's right. You've got your hat and your new jumpers on.
I've got a new jumper.
So you've kind of really built that brand up around that whole digital commando stuff. And so we will come back in part two, where I'm sure we're going to hear more about the digital commando and what business success looks like for you.
Good days.
If you've enjoyed our podcast today, come over and find us on Facebook. Join our free Facebook group, Business Success Network. Hi guys, so I am back with Stefan Wesley, the digital commando, who for part two is going to share with us what business success looks like to him. Everybody's is different, and I love this part of the podcast, because everybody's answers here are so different, and I have no idea what he's going to say. But also his plans for the future. So we've just heard about his business background, where he, you know, his journey so far, where he's come from, but what happens in the future. Stefan, welcome back.
Hey, Stacey, how are you doing?
Good. So business success then, kind of one of them things that people quite often don't think about until they get thrown this question. So what is business success to you? What's the definition?
That's actually massively a difficult question. I suppose success is different, isn't it? It's all a matter of perspective. Now, like we talked about in the last part about when I was in Dubai, I think my perspective changed so much when I was there. Now, and it's changed a lot since I started the business as well. So if I kind of jump back to Dubai first, one of the things that I've always looked at with businesses, and I see it a lot with kind of a lot of the community that I network now, is people put an upper threshold on their abilities. And your perspective changes so much when you meet people that have gone through such an incredible journey of success, where lots of the businesses are kind of, I've worked with all the individuals and entrepreneurs that I've worked with, I've seen them literally go from having £20,000 and make it an investment into their kind of new business and grow that business up to a multi-million figure business. Now, when you've actually, it's always good, we've all seen people do it on the internet, but when you know someone that's done it, it's completely different. And you kind of go, I know that can be done because I've actually seen multiple people do it. So that was kind of my instinctive thought, was a financial result. So that was kind of what I based my business off in the beginning. It was, okay, for me to be a success and to have a successful business, I need to make a great deal of money. And I kind of didn't put a target on it. I just kind of said, I want to have enough money that I don't have to worry about if my bills are being paid this month or if I want to buy something, I can buy it. And that was kind of where I wanted to be. I was like, okay, I want to be financially independent, that old cliche word. But that's kind of where I went with it. Now, as
and you talked about in part one, you talked about Wolf of Wall Street, yeah, and you know how that was a bit of a, oh, that looks good, let's go and do that. So I'm guessing that that kind of, I don't want to say that lifestyle, because I can't imagine you rolling out of a car and crawling, well, I can, but there must be certain parts of that lifestyle, like I say, that kind of, it is money orientated, isn't it? And it's financial. And so that obviously spurred you on to go out there and be in that industry.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where money was always, and a lot of people from the outside until they've experienced it, I think, always see money as a big driver, and they see money as, again, another cliche, but like money is happiness. And just because you're sailing around on a yacht that you own that's built for a Bond villain doesn't necessarily mean that you're very happy. Now, I built the business, I think, within the first probably about 18 months of me launching Sigma. It was bigger than the agency that I'd just come from, and that had been around for 10 years. So at this point, I'd gone through the running around trying to get any client I can just to make some money, to a point where, oh, actually now I can kind of pick and choose my clients, which is such a relief as well, because you know that you can give a better service when you do things like that as well. So that's kind of where the business kind of got to a point. And then there's been a rocky road throughout the whole journey to now where we've been around for about 6 years, where we've kind of gone ups and downs. And a lot of that is through, again, not having, this is my, realistically, my first business, because it's just evolved from the one in Dubai. But it was where, as a new kind of, I suppose, startup business owner, essentially, I don't know how to hire the correct people. That's not something that I was really particularly good at. And I've made lots of mistakes along the way doing that as well. But you learn from all these, and it does help you. And I think running business is a fantastic learning experience for everyone. And I'm shocked of anybody that does it well first time. But success kind of changed for me probably about 12 to 18 months ago, where I took a step back. I was really, really, really in the business rather than working on the business itself. I'm a massive control freak, so I struggled to step away from things. And for me, it was, okay, the money side is absolutely fine. Like, that's not a problem anymore. But I was miserable. And I was like, running this business doesn't make me happy anymore. And that's why I kind of had to take a step back and look at what makes me happy. What do I enjoy about the role that I do? And can I start to now manage the actual business itself and start putting people into the jobs that I don't want to do, and then doing a bit more of the stuff that I do want to do? And I think now business success to me is a kind of definition. It's very much your business is successful if it makes you happy. And that doesn't matter if you make £30,000 a year or 30 million a year, to be perfectly honest. I think happiness comes down to the bottom line for me now, rather than financial success.
Fabulous. And actually, I often hear people say that they think once they hit that, whatever level of like you say, financial, whether you said 30,000 or 30 million, often people think they've hit that, right, what's the next goal? And they strive for more and more and more. And actually what comes with those financial pressures is stress, not happiness. So it's that thing of finding your level, isn't it, and what makes you happy. So I agree with you in part there that, you know, it is down to happiness, because nobody wants a job where they're not happy. And
it makes it 30% of our life is spent working. So I've always said to everyone,
I don't believe 30% of your life's working. You have, what is it, Champagne Fridays and Monday mornings off, is it? Come on, you.
Well, no, we do, because again, it's part of happiness. So we start late on a Monday, but that's normally because we're doing training on Monday together as a team. So we don't actually start like the working day and talking to clients until about midday. And then from my army background, we finish early on a Friday. So we always try and finish at lunch. We do try and finish at lunchtime. We don't always, that's not always the case. And we do work weekends as well, sometimes.
Do you? I don't believe it.
Yeah.
social working.
Yeah.
So what are your plans for the future then, Stephen? You've just said it might not be a monetary value, but happiness is definitely key at the moment. So what's going to make you happy? What's the plan? What's the difference between Sigma and Digital Commando? Where's
Well, this is Sigma's been running really well for years now, and it's continuing to grow. It's probably grown more in this year alone than it has in all of last year, and last year was a good year as well. So we've had a fantastic year so far. Now, for Sigma, I am trying to work on the business a lot more than in the business now. So we have got somebody that will be coming in. This is kind of hot off the press. We'll be coming in more than likely at the end of April, beginning of May, who will be taking over from me as the kind of, I suppose, the leader of Sigma. So she'll be coming in to do that. And that's going to give me more time to focus on the Digital Commando. And the reason that's kind of come about is, again, stemming back to happiness as the ultimate goal. Over the last few years, one of the big things that I've noticed, and you'll notice because you're in the industry as well, is that a lot of the companies that we work with as Sigma, if we look at something like Facebook advertising / Instagram advertising as a product, now, to do that correctly in the way that we do it as an agency is very, very expensive for clients. Now, not taking into account that we've got extra software that we pay for each client so that we can optimize their campaign more than everybody else. We also use, obviously, there's a lot of time that goes into it. We have to do the creative a lot of the time. So there's kind of a minimum requirement of what we have to do as an agency, and we have to obviously cover the cost of that. Now, with a small business, and small businesses are kind of where I enjoy working more than bigger businesses. So if I've got a small business that might come to me and say, look, Stefan, we're really interested in Facebook advertising for our business. If they haven't got a budget of realistically over £3,000, then it's not really a client that I would advise that we work with, purely because our management fee with our retainers alone, like, and I'm transparent to everybody about our prices because I don't really care. I'm not sure if I can swear on this podcast, so I won't. but for like transparency, I think our minimum for a client to work with us on any level of advertising is about £1,800. So, and that's before their ad spend. So realistically, clients have to have quite big budgets. Now, I was turning away probably 90% of the inquiries that were coming to us, probably more than that actually, purely because they just didn't have the budget, and I don't feel right taking like a large amount of somebody's budget on a management fee because I just don't feel they get the return on investment. So this is where the Digital Commando Academy came to light. I wanted to be able to provide a service for the small business owners, freelancers, or and people like that, so that they can actually go, right, okay, we want to learn digital marketing or learn Facebook and Instagram advertising to a high level where they can actually get a good return on investment without having to hire a really expensive agency. And that was the idea behind the Digital Commando Academy. So it takes them through level tier one, tier two, and tier three training. Tier one and tier two are very much assessment-based. So they'll go on as if you would on most online courses. You'll go through, it's all video training. They'll do level one, which is about 15 hours, level two, which is about the same. And then they'll do an assessment at the end of each one, which is all online. Now, you can obviously, more than likely, Google the answers to a lot of those questions. So for anybody to become a tier three, they go through a one-to-one training assessment where they'll actually do it with either myself or one of the team, and they'll take them through certain things that need to be done as part of their campaigns so that we can say, right, okay, we know that this person knows their stuff. We know that they've got the ability to scale campaigns for big clients and deliver results. And that's where they'll get that kind of tier three tick. But the advantage for, I suppose, the small businesses is they've got that constant support from us as well. So we've got a phone line that's 24 hours and they can call up if they've obviously they've gone through training, but they do struggle with anything. They can call the team, have an actual conversation, because as you'll know, speaking to lots of people, you'll have heard it so many times where people go, I wish I could just pick up the phone and speak to Facebook because I'm struggling to do something. Now, we all know that's a lot more hard than it sounds.
Yeah.
So we give people the ability to actually give us a call. We can take them through things. If they are struggling with parts of Facebook, specifically on the advertising side, then we can help them out. And then, so that's an advantage for small businesses. They've got that level of support from us. And then for the freelancers, anybody that wants to become a Digital Commando freelancer, we're actually doing consistent lead generation of small businesses that are interested so that we can introduce them to level one, level two, and level three Digital Commandos. So actually it gives them the ability to kind of earn while they learn.
Sounds fab.
It's wicked.
So when is that launching?
That is launching at the end of this month.
Wow.
Which is, oh, I don't know if it goes out.
Well, it'll go out at the end of this month now you said that. No,
oh, we've got some time around now.
or 3 months ago, depending. We've got some really exciting stuff coming up with you within the network, though. You're going on to the front cover of the magazine.
Yes.
You're going to be our, like, our Facebook ads expert, if you like. And like you said, you know, I get it. That is, you know, I'm part of the, I love digital marketing and stuff like that. But we are totally different in what we do in terms of, you know, you'll laugh at me and say, I like the nice community, you know.
Facebook, you know, the group stuff, which the group stuff is, well, essentially, we've already had conversations about you running some of the Digital Commando groups.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the great thing about building these relationships, whether it's online or offline, and networking and all this stuff, because, you know, we network together. And actually, rather than being competitors, it's great to have those collaborations, because I can do Facebook ads. I've got no problem with that. But you know what? That's not, like you say about being happy, that's not what makes me happy. What makes me happy is the engagement and the, you know, the community stuff. So actually, we're pretty cool that we can pass work and stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
I am looking forward to your interview on the magazine, I have to say.
Me too, yeah.
So we'll be back in part three then, Stefan, for your three top tips. So have a quick think, get them ready. Don't say that I threw this on you, because I've definitely prepped you for this one. Looking forward to it, and we will be back shortly.
Hey guys, Stefan here, Digital Commando. Now, if you want to get more information, you want some tips on how to do better Facebook and Instagram advertising, then jump over to the Digital Marketing Commandos Facebook group. It's free. You can join us in there and get loads of top tips. Apart from that, listen to the Digital Commando podcast or check out the website, thedigitalcommando.com. Thank you very much.
So we're back for part three with Stefan Wesley from the Digital Commando and Sigma Digital. And he's going to share his three top tips with us. Stefan, over to you.
No pressure. Top tips.
Oh. You just looked at me like I had just thrown this on you then. It wasn't like that. I've given him at least 10 minutes warning.
Yeah, no, I think it was. No, I was driving for those 10 minutes. I should have thought about it. Okay, so three top tips for, is it business owners and startups?
Business owners, decision makers, you know, some of them will be startups, but others will have been in business for quite a while. So it's up to you, really.
Okay, well, I think my biggest one, and it was something that I learned from a really cool guy called, I think, Alex, who is the director of an agency called Zest that right. are either based in Oxford, or they may have moved to London now. I think they're in North Oxford. And again, they're kind of a direct competitor of us. But he was about 5 years ahead of me when I decided to start the agency. And he was kind enough to sit down with me and kind of have a conversation when I first started the agency. And the biggest thing that I learned from him really was to outsource the things that either you're not good at or you don't like doing. And being in the creative industry, the big things for me was, number one, like accounting and bookkeeping. I hate doing all that sort of stuff. So the first thing he said was, like, outsource that straight away. And then the other one was sales. And now I didn't outsource sales because that is one of the things that I really love. But he said his biggest tips were, those were the two things for him personally, were the, right, get them outsourced as quick as possible. For other people, it can be different depending on their kind of skill set and what they enjoy. But that was always, I think that is probably one of the biggest things that helped me start the agency and keep it going and grow it so quick, was to go, right, okay, what do I not like to do? Now, web development was never a skill that was one of mine. I don't come from a web design background at all. Mm-hmm. I can build websites because I've learned kind of over 6 years, you learn enough. But the first thing that I pulled in was, right, I'm not great at SEO. Again, that's not my background. So Milosh was like my guy. Then Milosh had worked in the industry for a lot longer than me, and he had like his guy that did web design. So initially we started outsourcing a lot of this web design. And that was kind of where we kind of went from. And we kind of always stuck to that from the very beginning. So that would definitely my biggest tip for number one, which would be, yeah, to
outsource.
If there's areas that you don't feel comfortable, or even just your time could be used better, then get rid of those things as soon as possible, because the level of stress that takes off you is incredible. And yeah, it just makes a massive, massive difference.
Brilliant. And I get that. And you mentioned earlier that you're a bit of a control freak. So I'm guessing that must have been a bit hard for you to give up. Mind you, if it's stuff you don't like.
Stuff you don't like, you're not so much of a control freak about it. And if it's stuff you don't understand as well, you don't need to be a control freak. Like, I'm a bit more of a control freak with the stuff I know. So like there's certain elements of the job that I still do now that I probably shouldn't. Like today I was at a photo shoot for a client. Now, I don't need to be there. The photographer is more than capable. A fantastic photographer, actually, Charlie Budd, who you know.
Yes.
So Charlie was doing photography for us this morning for a client in Leamington. Now, they're a fantastic company. He's a fantastic photographer. He's got a brief. There's no real necessity for me to be there, but it's one of the areas that I like, and I like to be there when we do things like that. So, I am a bit control freak. So it's just... there's elements that I will take a bit more time to let go of.
Fantastic then. Top tip number two.
Number two would be and this is probably one more for startups or young entrepreneurs that are trying to create a startup, which is the sales side. Now, although outsourcing from tip one is great, sometimes you can't afford to do that straight away. And my biggest tip number two would be to learn to love sales, especially in the beginning. You need to really get stuck in, and the most successful people will go out of their way to really go into sales. Now, I had a really good sales background before I started the agency, which I was very, very lucky to have that, because I'd been surrounded by some of the best salespeople in the world. So one of my mentors was a guy called Spencer Lodge, who is still, I think, one of the best sales trainers in the world. He was trained by Tony Robbins, like one-to-one training with that guy. This guy is incredible. So I would definitely suggest, if anybody needs sales tips, to go and Google Spencer Lodge, but just not the Elton John story. That's funny as well. But he's absolutely incredible. And I was lucky enough to obviously learn from him, which then kind of I managed to grow on. But it's one of those things that people need to kind of really embrace. And in the beginning, you just have to go and do whatever you need to sell. Now, some people go, I always say to everyone, Facebook advertising works 100% of the time. But, well, when it's being done correctly, it does work 100% of the time. But sometimes you just don't have the budget to put into it. So I've done things like, I've literally gone around two companies on an industrial estate, knocking on the door and saying, hi, this is me. This is what I do. I won't take your time up now, but is there any chance you could have half an hour for me, maybe later in the week or early next week, where I can just come and have a quick chat to you about what we do and see if there's a good fit? Like cold calling, all that sort of stuff. They're the fastest way to get business, which is ironic coming from the Facebook marketer, but in the beginning, they are the fastest way to get business, and it works. It's the age old thing. Now, I don't believe in dropping leaflets off. I think they go in the bin. But I think actually knocking on the door and having a conversation with someone and just asking the question, do you have a spare half an hour for me to pop in, still works to this day. And I think that's my next kind of big tip, would be to go out and go and get business and like force your way in the door.
Yeah. So building relationships, getting those conversations started, however that is, and then obviously, you know, getting on with it. Just, I suppose it is that, just go and do it, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. So, wow, this is not going the way I thought it was, actually. I thought these were going to be all kind of Facebook tips and all kinds of things like that. It's really interesting, isn't it? You think you know what someone's going to say, and then you never know. To be fair, never know.
I think Facebook tips, if they want the Facebook tips, they can join the academy. You've got to pay for them.
Oh, nice one.
So, loads of Facebook stuff out there, to be honest, and we've got the group and stuff like that, which we'll talk about later. But the there's so much you can get from Facebook, and I think there's those tips that I can give people, which are great, but they're only tips that they've heard a million times before.
Yeah, and actually, what I like is I like the fact that these tips have come from your life lessons. So yes, we're calling them top. Actually, you know, life lessons is another great one to use as well. We've got one more.
So, all right. So my last tip. Don't drink with Stacey. That's the thing. Yeah. And then mic drop. Job done. So the other one, which actually is touches on that, is to I'm gonna summarize like loads of things under one kind of umbrella, which is
just your way of getting another 10 tips in without.
It is. So guys, grab a sandbag, chill out, grab a drink. no, so for me, it's play the long game. Now, unless you're selling fidget spinners or something, then most people that start a business want to be in business for quite a while. So my biggest thing is, and I know a lot of people say it comes down to affordability because it's longer, but it's all about building long-term brand. Now, that can be done in so many different ways, which networking is a great one by building relationships, and that gives you instant engagement. So if you do go to things like 4N, which are fantastic, then you've got so many people that will engage with your content on a daily basis. So it's a very quick way to kind of create, I suppose, a fan base in a sort. But then to look at the long game. Now, you hate it when I mention things like TikTok, but...
I don't hate it, actually. I could tell you a really funny story about...
You're on TikTok now.
I'm not, but I have threatened my daughter with being on TikTok. And
do
Jamie.
It.
So, okay, so we can't leave this now. So Stefan, this is going to be a really long podcast, and my technical help, Gary, is going to kill me, but never mind. Stefan was at, Gary's wagging his finger at me and everything. Stefan did a speaking slot at one of our networking events last week, and it was all about digital stuff, but you spoke about TikTok, and Stefan knows that as a parent, not as a social media manager, but as a parent, TikTok is one of my bugbears. It's banned in our house due to previous issues we had when it was Musical.ly. But actually, my 12-year-old daughter left her phone on the side, and it's one of the stipulations that she's got a phone that mummy is allowed to go through it. I went through it. There's TikTok videos on there. I'm like, hang on, that's banned. So we had a little conversation about what should and shouldn't be on there, and off she went, and I trust her because she is quite sensible. And the next week I came back, and there was, to be honest, it's typical 12-year-old girl stuff. But you know, there was a bit more than I wanted to be see of her, let's say. And I said to her, right, you've got one more chance, otherwise mummy and daddy are going to take over your TikTok account, and mummy's going to shake her stuff in front of the camera, and daddy's going to give you his best I want to break free rendition with his Uber, because obviously Mr. C runs his cleaning company. Yeah. Now, tell a 12-year-old girl that her parents are going to take over her social media accounts, and it is the worst thing ever. I think it's actually worse than me shutting down her account. So, Stefan, I did warn her that I am like, I've been listening to you, I've heard your TikTok story, and I'm good to go. So the poor girl is now petrified.
I'm not surprised. It's really, really good. So, just because everybody does the TikTok-y videos and the dances and the rest of it. Now, I do this. Now, people are more than welcome to follow me on TikTok.
Digital what, command. You dance?
I do. And I posted one this morning. I did a funny dance. It was like, I can't see the video. I don't know why I'm doing it.
You know but, what, Stefan? You're almost convincing me to go on TikTok.
It gets better. So, although I've got two TikTok accounts. One is just for me, just to have fun and mess around. But then I started one specifically for the Digital Commando podcast.
You know we don't want to see the we want to see the fun one, right?
Of course you do. So, again, lead generation. It's all about brand. So, the other one. So, if you're looking at it from a business perspective, I use this one for, or I will be using it when we've got the videos live on YouTube. Now, for everyone that does use TikTok or has seen it, they'll see that the integration with TikTok to people's Instagram and YouTube channels is really easy. So you click on someone's profile, you click on the Instagram button, and underneath it will go, do you want to go to TikTok? Or sorry, do you want to go to YouTube or Instagram? So that's really nice and easy. So that gives you, I always call it like the top of funnel, isn't it? So what I would do, because you're limited on the amount of time you can spend on TikTok, record a video as such. When I've got, for example, Gary Jones is on my podcast, I have a video that's like 30 seconds long of me and Gary, I think you were there actually, where we just quickly record, hey guys, I'm here, it's me and Gary Jones. Today on the podcast, Gary's going to be talking about this, this, and this. Make sure you check it out on YouTube. Now that will be my TikTok video. And then if people do want to know more, they just click on the YouTube and it basically lead generates for my YouTube. And that's how I use it for brand.
Brilliant. We could talk all day, couldn't we? We're two people that just chat and chat and chat. But Gary has literally just given me the 5-minute warning and to shut up now. So we are going to have to go, Stefan. It's been fantastic to chat to you. Like I say, we chat quite a lot anyway, kind of in a networking environment, but it's good to kind of hear more about your story and stuff like that and to share it with our listeners. So thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I have. Thank you very much for having
me. I hope I will get to be on your podcast at some time as mere mortals.
We'll get you booked on straight off this. I'll send you a link.
Oh, bless you. I'm only joking. It's fine. I know when I'm not loved. Right then, guys, we are off. Thank you very much, Stefan, for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for listeners. And if you want to know more, go to Digital Marketing Commandos Facebook group, and you can get loads more information on what I do and loads of tips for Facebook advertising.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, please leave us a review. And until next time, I'll see you soon.